Oh, baby, coming at you right after a huge win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Buddy, we're glowing. What are we talking about?
21% of the season. That's 15 games to you and me, friend. The Brooklyn Nets are now 9-6, 2-0 in the era of the beard alongside KD. We're going to look at this one. It's against a really good matchup, the Milwaukee Bucks, at full strength. Playoff foe, a team that could be between us and the NBA Finals down the road here. A lot of things to like. Some things to learn from, some things to grow from potentially as well. But I think we're starting to recalibrate what we label James Harden as, not just offensively, maybe even defensively, the effort piece of it. And then we have to recalibrate some things around one DeAndre Jordan, who seems to be finding a new rhythm and new role with this updated roster in Brooklyn.
For sure. It was an awesome game. We're going to get into all of it here. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team. It's every day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner and operator, DFSR.com. Got you covered for all your DFS and betting angles when it comes to the NBA. And that's Adam Armbrecht. You know him. He's the voice of the Nets over on Sportscaster. He's also one of their lead NBA analysts. Buddy, how are we doing today?
Flawless. Flawless start to the James Harden era in Brooklyn.
Oh, flawless. That is not the word. That is not the superlative I thought you were going to give there. I think it's definitely...
Later on, I'll have some other thoughts that may flesh that out a little bit more, but at least out the gate, you know?
Look, we're coming at you. We're recording this right after the Nets' huge win over the Bucks here. TNT game, national game, a Bucks team that's playing full strength right now, which is really saying something in these days of COVID when you're not sure who's going to be playing or if teams are ever going to play again, which it seems like. But they come out in what is nothing short of probably a playoff preview, maybe a Eastern Conference Championship preview when it's all said and done. At least that's where the odds have it. And they come out, and we get James Harden and Kevin Durant, and they win 125-123 in somewhat of a nail-biter. But this was a real test of what the Nets are going to look like against a real team. Bucks have been awesome this year during the regular season. We know they're a good regular season team just in general. But, you know, in terms of just, we're going to get through the whole game here, and we're going to, you know, kind of break it down, you know, step by step. But just in terms of initial thoughts coming in here after, I mean, just nothing short of a huge win, right? I don't want to bury the lead here, but that's just what it looked like to me. There's some flaws, but is that what you see? This preview, this national championship game, national championship, you know, this
national championship,
this,
baby, all right,
national televised game, big stage, and the Nets took it down. I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah, I always thought that this team on paper could beat any college basketball team in the nation. That's just me personally. And they're proving it. They're proving it out there on the floor. No, I think you're right. Like, you know, you get Harden in and you play Orlando, and that's all well and good, and it's the first game for him. And this just feels like, all right, let's start to you know, develop some concrete thoughts around what we're seeing. It ends up being, by the end of it, and we'll go through it, a really nice, well-rounded performance from this team overall. And the first thing that we start to look at is that starting unit, and if we're going to start to see some stability in that regard. And we got good indications from Steve Nash and his coaching staff that at least right now, this is what we're running out there at the start of these games with Harden and KD on the floor.
Yep, and we have one Mr. Kyrie Irving who's going to come back into the mix, and we'll see what happens with it then. But until that day comes, whenever it might be Wednesday, this is the starting lineup that they have. They start Kevin Durant, James Harden, and then Joe Harris, Jeff Green, and DeAndre Jordan against, like I said, this full-strength Bucks team that has been kind of rolling through teams at times this season, shooting tons of threes, like just absolutely shooting lights out. Didn't happen for them tonight. The game started off for the Nets a little sloppy, especially on Harden's part. There was a lot of turnovers. There was one possession where he just kind of let the ball go out of bounds. It was really weird. It was early on in the game. He looked a little bit out of sync, and I was watching with someone else, and we were kind of making the joke that this is going to sound weird, but he had done so much defensively in the first game that we were thinking he was probably thinking to himself, man, when you actually play on defense, it's you get really tired.
It's kind of exhausting.
Like, I'm absolutely exhausted the next game after all the defense I played. And that's really what it looked like at the beginning of the game, where it looked out of sync. It looked sloppy. He just looked kind of tired, frankly. It just didn't. Were you seeing the same thing? It was not crisp to start the game.
Yeah, and listen, we talked about it when he got here and immediately got into the Orlando game. We were a little surprised how quickly that ended up turning around, and it's great. And then also, right, for whatever, however much you want to put on to the lackadaisical nature of his play while he finished his time in Houston, he's got to run himself into shape a little bit. This is a game where ultimately he goes 41 minutes, so he played 40 against Orlando. He's maxing out. He is trying to show all facets of the game, including on the defensive end. So I think you are going to see some of that fatigue. And then, as you highlighted, right, no Kyrie yet back in there. So there is weight, on KD and Harden's shoulders here. You do need to carry a lot of this load on the offensive end, especially if you want to put yourself in a position to win a game against a really tough team in Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee is going to make it hard for you in the defensive end. The Giannis piece, where you're going to need to bring doubles as much as possible, whenever possible. The Nets did have sort of a strategy with him that worked mostly, though they probably got a little lucky with some of it. But they're going to make you work, because you really have to guard. They're a five-out team that can really make it difficult for you. Lopez is going to stretch you, and they have sort of had a plan with that. Holiday has been playing really well. Dante DiVincenzo can shoot the three, so this is not an easy defensive assignment when they're running the starters big minutes, and I think we did see them start to struggle with that a little bit right away as they tried to get especially their defensive footing. The first quarter, they're down six. Like I said, Harden, I think he had four of his turnovers in the first half, or in the first quarter. I have to go back and look. I think almost all the turnovers were in the first half, at least. At the end of the half was six turnovers, and then end of the game was six turnovers. But then they kind of ticked things back up in the second quarter. The shooting gets there. Jeff Green looked really like exactly what you need from Jeff Green, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to play 37 minutes. He's not going to touch the ball very often. But when the open shot is there, he needs to knock it down. Like, that is just, that's the whole role, right? Be there on defense, be able to lock it down. And then when you have the very rare opportunity to shoot a wide open three, you have to knock it down. And he went 4 for 5 from three. So the role playing piece, in a second, we're going to talk about DeAndre Jordan. Cause like DeAndre Jordan deserves his own extended segment, I think, after this game, after we kind of crushed him. But I think that was kind of the story for this team, was in the first half, once things started to clean up a little bit, we began to see again just sort of how deadly they can be. And then when these role players are figuring out what exactly they're supposed to be doing on a possession by possession game, like what it means to play long minutes with Kevin Durant and James Harden, that is not an easy thing to do. I know it seems like it should be easy because they do all the work, but it's not an easy thing to play 37 minutes, in a basketball game and barely touch the ball and be called on to be able to make it sure you're doing it in the moment. So, go ahead.
No. And you mentioned Jeff Green. I think even early on in the first quarter into the second quarter as well, just, the value of having a guy that has some length like him, obviously a veteran, you can go ahead and put him on to Giannis for stretches just to take that weight off of KD on the defensive end for X number of possessions. Now, the particular matchup when you talk about Brook Lopez and just stretching, listen, that's a problem for most teams in the league, especially for the Brooklyn Nets. But if you can, and this is, I do wonder about this, and we'll keep an eye on it going forward. If you can have Jeff Green playing up over 30 minutes like this, and even, by the way, DJ, who played 38, we got to him in a second, and Joe Harris playing 37 minutes. Like, if you are a role player, if you have a very specific niche, it's easier to be good at it when you have the length of being able to focus on it, right? And you saw early in the year, a lot of different players in and out, who's going to be starting, who's going to be rotating in first off the bench. The uncertainty is as difficult for role players as any other aspect of their game. So when you clean it up and you say, here's the starting unit, here's who's going to be coming off the bench, everybody at least comes into the game with the right mentality. And you saw that from everybody outside of the two, the big two. I think everyone else really knew what they wanted to accomplish and what was expected of them and went out there and executed against a good defensive team, by the way, too, which is important to note when you talk about Jeff Green going 4 of 5 from deep or Joe Harris that we'll get into as well as we move along.
All right. We are going to get into some DeAndre Jordan talk. We're going to get into some Joe Harris talk in a second. We'll talk about how the Nets close this game out and what it means to have two superstars. First, got to talk about our friends over at Bet Online. We're headed for a huge weekend of football playoff action before the big game. BetOnline's got you covered there. BetOnline tonight, you could have gotten the Nets plus 3.5 heading into that game. They have easy cover plus the money line, which they I think they're a plus 150 going into the game. So it was all there for you on BetOnline player props. NFL games, NBA games, it's all there. You have to go right now to betonline.ag. You can sign up for a free account and use a promo code LOCKEDON, like our podcast network, for a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action and make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And before we dive in on some of the other highlights from this matchup, got to remind everybody about Tuesdays on Locked On NBA, where the East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, as well as David Rommel, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Let's do it, Doug. We are nothing if but willing to acknowledge when something that we feel or think about this team changes or evolves. One, DeAndre Jordan, right? He looks like, you hate to say it, it almost feels a little bit like in the same way that people talked about James Harden and how he was feeling in Houston. Is this just DJ saying, and now it's time for me to turn it on and be the best version of myself at this point of my career?
Okay, so I'm gonna make a couple different points here. The first one is going to be DeAndre Jordan played a good game. It was not a great game. It looks better on paper probably than it ended up being, but he played a good game and he was serviceable. The Bucks, and this is actually a good sign for the Nets, the Bucks are a matchup that Jordan can actually play a lot of minutes because they actually just put him as part of the wall in front of Giannis at a lot. And they said, if you want to shoot the wide open top of the key three, have at it. Giannis airballed one of those in a pretty.
He touched the net, you know.
Did it? Oh man, I thought it missed everything to the left.
Fluffed it a little, you know.
So he's actually. This is actually because what they're not going to do is bang Lopez in the block, and so at that point they can switch. You know, they can kind of you can hide Jeff Green out there. They hide KD a little bit out there. KD had a lot of Middleton in this game, so. In this matchup, this is actually why DeAndre Jordan could stay on the court for so long, because the defensive assignment is impossible because it's Giannis, but it's also able to sort of happen because of the way Giannis plays and wants to get downhill on you. So if you actually have a big body in front of him, Jordan can fill that. It was problematic at times. He got lost a little bit at times. And you're gonna look. The Giannis thing is very difficult. So it's not that. But the energy level was there for sure. The willingness to try to at least speed bump him and stay in front was there. And it was mostly effective. And I always say that relatively speaking with Giannis, because it's just, look, Giannis finished with 34 points and seven assists. So it wasn't like he got shut down. But I thought DeAndre did enough in that matchup. And there's going to be not as many matchups like this that are going to cater to his sort of I don't want to leave the paint style. But this one kind of worked out. And then we'll get to the offense in a second. But that's what I saw from him defensively. And I thought, okay, this is at least serviceable in this matchup. And that's a good sign for when they get maybe into the playoffs.
Right. If you think about Eastern Conference Finals and it being against the Bucks, hey, if you're going to be good against one team, it's better for it to be the Bucks as opposed to the Knicks.
Right.
Listen, he has five turnovers in this as well. Like you said, there's some mixed bag to this. And I will say, too, that I think as this game wore on, I think he did wear down a little bit or just showed a little bit of fatigue there. And that's just, again, because you're asking a lot of him on both ends of the floor. A lot of Twitter was having some fun with the idea of Harden just needing to readjust how high DeAndre Jordan is capable of elevating these days as opposed to expectations from a year long since past. There's some of those growing pains there as well. I agree with you, though. I think this is the best version that we've seen of Jordan. And I do wonder about specifically the Harden piece and having him on the floor with KD and even with Jeff Green. Like, this is a group now of this is a heavy veteran team now that has all of a sudden flipped the script. And maybe that does lend itself for getting the best value out of a DeAndre Jordan. I know you want to touch on the offense before we get into a couple of the other guys that I think are maybe benefiting the most from a James Harden on the court now, too.
Well, and yeah, and I'll be quick about this, but what Harden adds for DJ here is Harden is awesome at the one thing that DJ can sort of do offensively at this point, which is roll to the basket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for whatever you want to make the joke about the elevation, but you're right, there was some awesome stuff on Twitter about just having, you know, the difference between throwing lobs to Christian Wood and to DeAndre Jordan is pretty significantly, there's a pretty significant gap between the elevation for those two guys. But Harden is, and they had sort of gotten away from it because when they got rid of Capella, they didn't do this as much. They just kind of did the 3-point stuff with him, and then they would kind of slash Westbrook to the rim when they were playing that style. But yet, it's not too far removed, and we talked about this in the preview, with Harden being able to do this high pick and roll and get downhill, and he's so awesome as a passer. Like, and once he figures out exactly how high DeAndre Jordan can jump, it's going to be really deadly. Because this is what the Nets ran last year. They try to run it with Dinwiddie all the time, and so they already have this built sort of into their style, and we got some glimpses of it tonight in terms of when you have Harden getting downhill like this, and the defenders kind of get caught, and you know that he can make every single pass at every angle, and you have a guy that actually does understand how to get to the rim like this with DeAndre and can finish with a decent amount of strength, and he brought it. I mean, there was a couple dunks that he had where it looked like he was actively trying to rip the rim out of the backboard. So I'm really encouraged by that piece because, again, DeAndre Jordan can't do much on offense these days, but he can do this.
Yeah.
And Harden is like one of the very perfect, like most perfect guys in the NBA to be able to pair with him, because Harden is also an absolute A-plus when it comes to these kind of passes.
And different when you think about, again, this isn't knocking or talking about whatever it's going to look like, but different than what Kyrie Irving is when he's on the floor with DeAndre Jordan. The game is different. So, maybe this ends up being another piece that creates value for DeAndre Jordan on this roster. And he darn well better when you've traded away Jared Allen. The other guys I specifically want to get to Joe Harris, but I will just do a quick nod because you talked about DeAndre Jordan throwing down with a little bit of aggression. Bruce Brown got one on a little bit of a putback. And, I mean, it was an audible chess scream that he let out at the back of that basket. And I will say that I think even when Kyrie gets on the floor here, I do think that specifically for this roster, I know some people say this is a guy that's going to trend towards very few minutes and maybe get buried on the bench somewhere. But what I would say is, because he specifically is this defensive guard on your roster, he may actually have incredible value alongside Harden at times, alongside Kyrie at times. Now, you're going to get small at certain points at the guard position, but I'm interested to see how that unfolds. The other bigger piece for me is Joe Harris in this. If you go back and look over the course of the season, we know that big performance he had against the 76ers, where he went 11-19 and gave you 28 points. These last two games, one other game there against Atlanta in that 145-141 game where he put up 23. These last two games are the next two best scoring performances that he's had all year. Yep. 7-12, 6-11, 5-7 from three, and 4-9 from three as well. I think, and you saw late in this game, Harden had the ball on the left wing and specifically took a little side dribble and then kicked it cross court to Harris, has all the trust in the world as he should in him. He knocked down a big three late in this one. People wondered about possessions, and I know Kyrie's not on the floor yet, but guess what? Joe Harris is going to benefit as much as anybody on this roster from the addition of James Harden, especially if he's going to be this hyper-focused on facilitation early on in his time here. I just think that you cannot overlook that value, especially again in a game like this when you're a lot outsized really across the board. And then on top of which, this is a good defensive team. You talk about having Holiday on that roster now for the Bucks. Yeah. And you're still able to create this space and openings where it's just like, yeah, guess what? Joe Harris is like the third guy you're concerned about right now. And you're worried about Harden driving and if DJ's going to be there around the rim. So he just gets to find even better little pockets to shoot from. I mentioned this in the preview, and I just feel like this is a good drum to be beating because Joe Harris is probably going to be as crucial to anything that they do from the standpoint of, by the way, Harden hasn't been great from three in his first two games here with the Nets. And if maybe you can reduce that necessity of his game, that can be to the benefit of what it looks like overall.
Yeah, so I think you're exactly right. And the Harris piece is just a good example of what this Nets offense has looked like these first two games, which is almost every shot is a good one. Yeah. When you have Kevin Durant and when you have James Harden in your team, all your shots, those guys included, because almost every shot that Kevin Durant and James Harden take are going to be pretty good shots, just by the nature of who they play. And then the shots that they get the other guys are all going to be good shots because of the nature of how those two other guys play, right? So you get at no point really during this game, and it was close, but at no point during this game did I think, ooh, that wasn't a great look. I mean, I maybe thought it like three times total, and I can only really remember one, so I'm just going to add two more to it just to hedge. But I, for the most part, they're just all getting good shots, and Joe Harris is just the benefactor of what happens when it's absolutely impossible for opposing defenses to guard these two other guys. And then Joe Harris, by in his own right, is a smart player, and he actually put the ball on the deck a few times. He got to, yep, tried to get to the rim also. It took two mid-range shots, which I was like, okay, we could be okay with this, these right here from you. So, no, I totally agree. I thought this is, it's just the everyone getting into the roles here is one of the reasons that it just looks so good to start, and it will be interesting to see what happens, Kyrie. I do want to talk about what happened here in the end game and why Nets fans should get really, really excited if you weren't already, because the end of this game is one of the reasons you brought in these guys. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Rock Auto. Cars can be intimidating. Fixing your car can be even more intimidating, especially if you feel like you got to take it to a mechanic, or even you need to go to the local auto parts place to try to find a part, and you're not sure if you're getting the right price. You're not sure if you're getting maybe ripped off. None of that is a problem with Rock Auto. Look, I know cars can be intimidating, but there's a lot of ways you can fix your cars these days. A little research on the internet and just know the right part, and you kind of away you go, save a trip to the mechanics. Rock Auto has a website which makes it really easy to find the part that you need. Make, model, type in the part. It's right there, easy database to search, and you can save sometimes 30% or up to 50% off of what you would get on the local place, the local auto place where you might just go to get your part. Right now, go to rockauto.com. It's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You go to rockauto.com, and when they ask you, how did you hear about us, you write "locked on" in that box, and they know that we sent you. Right now, go to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And hey, shots fired from Doug. Brooklyn Nets can take on any college team in the nation. We know that for sure. And while March Madness is a few months away, the future of the NBA is on display right now. You can get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the Year out with profiles on Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and plenty more of the potential big hitters that could be coming out in next year's draft. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And so, closing time here in this one, Doug. And I mean, I'll let you take the floor with it, because I mentioned that dish across court to Harrison. It was a really nice shot. You have KD do some good things, but I'm sure that you were kind of dialed in on specifics, because you're talking not just in this game, but big picture for what Brooklyn Nets fans can get kind of hyped about when you have these guys on the floor, right?
Right, for sure. So in the playoffs, it's actually funny about how this works out, right? So the knock on the Bucks in the playoffs was, how are they going to get shots late, right? They have all the scheme to kind of destroy you during the regular season, especially when you're playing maybe deeper benches and whatnot, and your guys are getting longer run, not as long run, so you don't need to, and you can kind of decimate second units. That's a little harder to do in the playoffs because everyone dials in the rotations to, you know, eight guys or something like that. And you're going to get max minutes out of the best players, like the Nets did today. They ran almost like what it would be a playoff rotation in this game, playing their starters just crazy high minutes. I don't think it's sustainable, but whatever. Get them some run right now. But and to their credit, the Bucks did too. But Giannis played 40 minutes. This never happens with him. In the end of games, when things get tight and it's hard to score, having two guys like Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie, I'm going to throw Kyrie in this group too, because he belongs there when it comes to just creative scoring and being able to get the job done. This is actually the single most important thing you can have when it comes to the playoffs, is have reliable guys who can get their own shots when things start to get slow and difficult and the defenses get strong and you're facing the best teams. The best thing you can have are superstar kind of guys that can get their own shots and score. And so, and we saw this the entire basically the entire fourth quarter and really the last like 6 minutes or so was what, I mean, how confident, I'll ask you, how confident did you feel every time they came down the court? I felt, I'm like, okay, I didn't feel confident they were going to win, but I didn't, I knew they weren't going to lose because of what these guys are able to do creatively on offense. Even when they had some rough possessions, like, you know, Durant loses the ball near the end and it kind of looks weird. Even these possessions, having these two guys that put so much pressure on the other team to not make mistakes is just the most valuable thing you can have. And I know it's a simplistic way to think about it because it's like, oh, okay, great, get the superstars and you'll win. Yeah, but it's kind of true. And you see it from you see it from these late games. And you just think, what I'm not worried about is us scoring. Now, can we stop the other team? We'll see. But it's not, we're not going to lose because we're going to get lost on offense. And that is, and I thought this, the end of this game was a perfect example of what you can kind of get ready for come playoff time.
Well, and I think you mentioned it too, right? Because, I mean, this is, you talk about Milwaukee and Giannis and what his struggles have been and just how do you take a guy that's one of the best players in the league and get him over this hump and refine his game a little bit. He needs to expand his game a little bit. You know, Harden and KD don't need to expand their game. They're already there. And as good as you may think Holiday is defensively, what is that? It's ultimately a losing battle that you're fighting, right? Even if you put him on Harden, you know, 90% of the time, if Harden misses a handful of shots, you're going to chalk it up as a win. And I think you said it best there, where it's the margin for error for a team defensively against KD, against Harden, against Kyrie is so paper thin that it can even breed errors, right? It can breed mistakes. It can breed lapses in coverage and switches and getting over. And you also can become hyper-focused on these guys and lose track of the Joe Harrises of the world and even the Jeff Greens. So I think... I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but it just, these two games with Harden have changed my perception of what it looks like for this team this year in the playoffs. It was impressive. It was exciting with Kyrie, but something looks specifically different. And maybe it's that piece that we mentioned last time about the physicality of Harden and what he can do going at the basket. But there's something else. There's something different here. And I can't put my finger on it yet, but it just feels like this is a much more dangerous team with Harden. And I don't mean with Harden and Kyrie. I mean KD and Harden are much more dangerous than KD and Kyrie. What this looks like with all three of them, that's for everybody else in the league to figure out. But there's something different here when you put Harden into this lineup. And I'll say it even for the complimentary guys, like you mentioned with DJ, like you mentioned with the Jeff Green and even Joe Harris. I don't know what it is. And maybe you can illustrate the point better. But there's something tangible here that I don't think KD and Kyrie tonight without Harden there go out and win this game. I think they probably lose this game by a handful of points because of whatever these things are in the margins that Harden brings to the table.
Well, okay, I'm going to start this by saying Harden is just better than Kyrie Irving. Okay, so I don't think there's anyone that's going to debate that.
Right.
Maybe people have at one time wanted to debate it. That's not really up for debate. Harden is just a better player than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is an amazing basketball player. So this is not a knock on Kyrie. It's just you're simply comparing him to a top, you know, at worst when he's really flowing, top, what, six best player in all of basketball in James Harden. Yeah. And that's just not Kyrie. Kyrie's he's that level of offense, but in terms of complete game and everything, he's just not really there. And I mean, like almost like complete offensively in terms of what he can do. So, it's not a knock on Kyrie. It's just that James Harden, this is why this trade is ground shifting, is because you're seeing that he's at least on the offensive end, is a complete player, right? He has incredible vision. He has incredible strength, and he's able to flow through a game just in a slightly different way than Kyrie. So I think
plays very under control, right? Like incredibly under control, which is maybe the big difference too.
Well, right, because look, think about what he's been doing for the last 3 years, which is just he's had the ball in his hands the entire game for the Rockets, you know, for better or for worse, sometimes worse when it came to that, but it wasn't for it's incredible that they did that, and actually that was what gave them the best chance to win because no other team operates like that. So now you put him in an offense with other really capable guys around him, specifically Kevin Durant, and you see what happens when you're in full control and you have an equally good weapon next to you. because since they really haven't had that since he was back in OKC, whatever you want to say about Chris Paul back in Houston, but they really haven't had that level of competency when it came to scoring around him, and he really wasn't playing this style back in OKC anyway, so it's really, he's probably just never had it. And so now that he does, you see, okay, well, I got a full trust in at least this other guy that can do basically what I can do on the court. I'm in full control. I see everything. And even when it's sloppy, it's good. Because, again, it wasn't perfect for Harden in this game. It really wasn't. And
No, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. And you're talking about sloppiness. So there's the turnovers and some miscommunications. But as much as we chalked it up early in the season when Kyrie was there as well, we kind of have to, I think. It's fair to give the leeway of a lot of these things are going to work themselves out over the course of, you know, the next 60 games or so, you know, for this team. But, and by the way, too, I'll throw out the last little caveat that you know, talk about the difference of his game from Houston to Brooklyn. You know, at the end of the third quarter, a couple of possessions where he stayed on the ball late and, you know, and just tried to get a couple of good shots at the end of the quarter. That's the first time that I've seen him get overly ball dominant in these, you know, two very small games. But it just feels like that's been mitigated out again by having KD on this roster, right? And surrounding him with quality talent. It is, you know, if you're worth your weight, you know, you have to be smart enough as James Harden to say, I got a lot of talent here. It'd be a failure on my part if I said, and now to do it the way I once did it in Houston, right? It wouldn't add up to success. So it's a credit to him to immediately be switching his game. And we'll see how it plays itself out in the long term. But wins like this also help support that mentality for Harden and say, yes, look, you don't have to do it the way you did. Look how successful you can be. You can get these wins against what maybe the first or second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, because I think there's been a knock on him that he is a selfish player. It's not true. This guy, you know, was averaging even at 10 assists a game in the few games that he played for Houston before he left. He had a few seasons removed of, you know, 11 and 9 assist seasons, and then Chris Paul gets there, and then Russell Westbrook gets there, and it kind of dips a little bit. But this is he's not by any means a selfish player. They just ran a style in Houston that was the marching orders were, James is going to shoot a million threes, and that's just what we're going to kind of do, right? That was the organizational philosophy. It wasn't because he couldn't do these other things. It was just because the philosophy around the math, what they felt like they were going to get compared to what would happen if he were to give the ball up to the other guys on the court, like PJ Tucker, Daniel House, or these other guys, there's just a massive downgrade. So it's just like, okay, well, that would be crazy if we had these guys take anything but open shots. So James just takes them all. So he's not a selfish player. It's just stylistically, I think, we got to see a different style because that was what they wanted to do. And we're starting to see that sort of open up now. And yeah, he's just been, it's been awesome. I've loved watching every minute of it. I'm not going to take that out. Sometimes we make mistakes. Tomorrow we're going to get, we're going to talk, do a little game preview for Cleveland. Get to see Jared Allen in the uniform for the first time. We got to talk about the defense tomorrow, that we kind of did gloss over this a little bit in terms of the defensive piece. The defense was rough in this game. And I think we will discuss this tomorrow about things that need to be addressed in the defensive end, because would you agree that there's work to be done there?
Yeah, unless you plan on, you know, consistently shooting 50% from beyond the arc. You know, there's some numbers here offensively that you better be able to lean on pretty hard if you're going to play that way on the defensive end.
All right. The way you can help the podcast, obviously, you go to our sponsors, betonline.ag and Rock Auto. You also can just, it's totally free, just go and rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Throw a 5-star review up there. Maybe say a nice word or two about Adam and I, and it all just helps. Makes us feel good, but also more importantly, helps us climb the podcast charts. So the number one thing you can do to help, go rate and review the podcast.
And as time ticked down in the fourth quarter, friends, all I could hear was, so gather up your jackets, move it to the exits. I hope you found a friend. Closing time, Dan Wilson.
Oh, one of the all-time great American poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.